Good morning. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And Real Life is the radio show that's dedicated to women who are ready to love life and make joy a part of the daily dialogue. So here we are, ladies. It's another Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. And I know what you do as a woman is you give a lot of yourself. And so I'd like to invite you to let the next 60 minutes be all about you and find a quiet place with your favorite beverage. This morning, I'm just having a cup of just plain old black Lipton's tea. And, you know, I have to say last weekend, I'm still kind of recovering from being sick last week. And I'm so grateful to my friend David Weiner, who was on air with our guest last week. And I actually wasn't able to hear the show, but I'm looking forward to listening to the podcast on my website, jennifertill.com. The Positive Image Boutique is a wonderful work in progress that's scheduled to open in April as part of the new University of Virginia Health Services Emily Corrick Clinical Cancer Center. To the casual observer, this will be a store that sells clothing and accessories for women who have had body alterations secondary to cancer or other illnesses. To the less casual, this is a place that will support women in recreating their very personal and individual stories of how they see themselves and how they want the world to see them. My guests this morning are Pat Periolet and Susan Morris, who are co-chairs of the steering committee for the Positive Image Boutique at the Emily Corrick Clinical Cancer Center. Good morning, Pat and Susan.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having us.
So it's such a mouthful to say all of the Emily Corrick Clinical Cancer Center and the Positive Image Boutique. And I understand that there, while we can't do the big reveal this morning, there's a new name coming for the boutique.
Yes, there
That's
is.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be eager to hear what it is. When will all of that be unveiled?
We think it will be unveiled at the benefit on March the 19th.
Okay. And can you tell us more about the benefit?
The benefit is going to be held in the cancer center itself.
Okay.
And it's going the proceeds from the benefit will go to the Positive Image Boutique. And there are going to be evening attire.
Not That's, black tie.
Not black tie.
Okay.
Evening attire. Optional.
So we don't need to pull out the ball gowns. We can a suit.
And, that's correct.
Okay.
And it will be a chance to come and view you will be able to view the cancer center at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it will also, it is from 6:30, I think, until 9:30. And we're going to have, there will be some music there. There'll be a silent auction of some marvelous things. There'll be food and things like that, but it's done so that the proceeds from it will all go to the Positive Image Boutique.
Well, I know we're jumping ahead a little bit because this morning, actually today, is a really exciting day for the Positive Image Boutique. Susan, can you tell us what's happening today over there?
Today is the grand opening. This morning, the dignitaries will come through. There'll be a ribbon cutting.
Can we say who's going to be there? No?
I think we could probably say Katie Corrick will be there.
Okay, great.
Emily Corrick's family.
Mm-hmm.
And some state dignitaries.
Okay.
That takes place from 10 to 12. From 2 to 4 this afternoon, the public is invited to come and tour the Cancer Center. And then from 5:30 until 7:30 this evening, the referring physicians from around the state will be coming in.
Wow, that's great.
So it's going to be a big day. We have a lot of people coming in, and we're really excited about it.
So we can't go over this morning, but we can go over from 2 to 4.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's wonderful. How did the boutique come into existence?
It came into existence because some of us in the auxiliary became aware that there wasn't going to be something like this in the cancer center. And so we asked if we could go ahead and do some research on this, and we requested the opportunity to do this, and the hospital said yes. So what we did was spend, I guess, 3 or 4 months?
Yes.
Going, Susan doing a lot of this as we went through the internet and telephone calls from coast to coast to about 40 different boutiques. and just seeing what they do, how they do it, what they carry, all the different things. But the important thing that came to us at the time was that every time we spoke to somebody, and we did go visit, I think, five of them in the area, was the enthusiasm of the women who ran these and worked in them, saying it's the most important thing. It's so important because we add a layer on top of the medical aspect for cancer patients and how important this was. And so we put all of this together and were allowed to make a presentation to the hospital. And the interesting part about it was that when we started out, we were looking at something like a gift shop that was for cancer patients. And we would have expected that it wouldn't be like our very successful gift shop that we already have in the hospital, but it would be one that wouldn't carry balloons and flowers and things because those aren't the kind of patients that we would have. But we would have expected to have a lot of motivational tapes and books and things that were important for people who were going through cancer treatment. And it turned out that by the time we got through doing all the interviewing and visiting all of them, we ended up with something that's quite different and something that we didn't envision, but it was extremely important. And so when we made the presentation to the board, they were immediately excited about it. And quite frankly, we've spent the time, and that was about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. And we've spent the time since then changing it and doing it and magnifying it and filling in all the different pieces that we would have to do. And Susan, you might want to give an idea of what it is that we ended up with versus what I said we started with.
Yeah, great.
Well, we started out looking at it as a gift shop and the unique types of products in a gift shop you might have in a facility of this type. And what we quickly recognized is that there was a real need at not only in the community but at UVA for cancer patients at a place where they could find all of the specialty cancer products that they need. Typically, they are given a resource list.
Mm-hmm.
And if you looked at our current resource list, there was one place in town they could go to that didn't provide all of their needs. So they were actually being sent to Richmond, even as far away as New York, to find the specialty products that would help them through their treatment period. And we decided that what we wanted to recommend to the hospital was a cancer specialty shop so that we could bring all of these products into the boutique in one place, giving the patients a place that they could go to that was convenient. They could get everything in one place in privacy. We'll have private dressing rooms that they can go into, and we'll discuss their needs with them there. But this is it's a unique situation in which we can give the patient everything. We feel we can give them everything they need. And if there are products that we're missing and they let us know what those products are, we're going to bring them in. So we've done a lot of research around the country with, as Pat said, like 38 to 40 hospitals initially. We've been to a lot of other hospitals since then and other boutiques around the country, seeing exactly what it is their customers are looking for. And because of their hit-and-miss experiences, they've been able to guide us and say, these are the products that you really need to carry. These are not as necessary. They may be things that maybe one patient needs in a lifetime. If they're really needed, we're going to bring them in, irregardless of how many patients need it. So we're looking to fulfill a need for the patients to give them what they need right on site.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And if you're just joining us this morning, my guests are Susan Morris and Pat Periolet, who are the co-chairs of the steering committee for the Positive Image Boutique, new name soon to be revealed, over at the new Emily Corrick Clinical Cancer Center at UVA. Susan, can you give us some examples? What are some examples of products? My mind's kind of spinning, but I can only come up with a few.
That's good because, not good, but we're not focusing just on women, although it may appear that way when you walk into the boutique. Certainly for the mastectomy patient, there's a need for prostheses, bras, We're going to carry mastectomy swimsuits. We'll carry post-surgical camisoles that are designed for women who have had radical surgery or even lumpectomies, where there are drain tubes attached.
Yep.
So these surgical camis provide the support for the body while they also have the pouches for the drain tubes so that the patient doesn't have to worry about those just kind of hanging loose.
Mm-hmm.
We'll carry other products that will be for all patients, including children and as well, although children won't necessarily be treated at the cancer center. We're going to carry specialty skin creams, lotions. There is a particular skin line called Lindy Skin that carries a product called a cooling pad, which is especially helpful for radiation patients who experience a burn from the radiation. And it's just a simple pad that's very cooling. You can comes in either a sheet or you can get it in a roll if you need more for daily use. But you cut it off, apply it to the area that needs the coolness, and it helps not with the healing process, but it helps make them more comfortable as they're going through that process. We'll carry hats, wigs, turbans, sleep caps, scarves.
What's a sleep cap? Is that just to keep your head warm?
Sleep cap is for people who've experienced hair loss during chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Just something to keep on their head at night because they're used to having the hair
there.
So
okay.
All of a sudden they get chilled.
Yeah.
A large variety of things. Down the road we may look at some lymphedema. Level one.
I don't know what that means.
Sleeves. Not typically, but occasionally when patients go through surgery, especially when lymph nodes are removed, they have a condition called lymphedema where the fluid has no way to drain, so it starts swelling. And there are like sleeves that will help compress and keep that limb from swelling as much, making it more comfortable for the patient. We're not certified for that at this point, so we won't do that going in. But as we see the need, we probably will consider that down the road.
Good. So, Pat, I think what you're doing is quite amazing. And the fact that you were able to approach the powers that be at UVA to me is a little mind-boggling, and that that they've accepted your proposal that the two of you have worked on so hard 4 years ago, but you had said it was for a number of months that you did the research. And I'm curious, what motivated you to even get started in this whole project?
I think that we had always assumed that there would be a gift shop run by the auxiliary in the cancer center.
The gift shop like flowers and balloons kind
but
of gift shop.
Not quite like that, as Susan said, with motivational things
yes.
in it.
Uh-huh.
And we expected that the difference would be that we would be willing as the auxiliary to run it, but the money that came from it we would give to the cancer center, not back to the auxiliary, but to the cancer center. So why wouldn't they want us? And then it was just a fortuitous conversation that I had with somebody and said, did you know that there's not going to be any space for one in the new plants? And I said, oh, no, it can't be. So that's when we decided that we had to start positioning ourselves so that there was such a thing. And we had to take it up, you know, run it up the flagpole, as the expression goes. to see that we could. And they were very nice and said, you know, come talk to us. And then, so we were looking at something different than what we ended up with. But it is so important that what we have there now, and it's just an evolution that happened there, but we knew that we wanted something in there, and the something was going to give back to the cancer center. So why wouldn't they want us in there?
Mm-hmm.
And so it turned out that when we made the presentation, they were just absolutely blown away that there was this and that we were willing to take it on ourselves. That's unique, by the way, in a lot of the places. In fact, all of them?
All but one.
All but one, where the auxiliary does it all. A lot of other places, the hospital will get somebody from the outside to come in. There's a franchise that you can also do it, or they will pay somebody outside just because they think it's important to have it, and they really don't want to have to do all the background work and all the legwork that we've done for almost 4 years to put it together. So this was a way for the auxiliary to do it. But one of the things that we haven't touched on now, which is so important to us, and that is that the University Hospital has a lot of patients that either are uninsured or underinsured. They need to use these facilities too. They need to know that what they need is right there, the prosthesis and the bras, possibly the wigs, that type of thing. And so the auxiliary is committed to the fact that whether, in fact, you have insurance, and a lot of people have insurance that will pay for these things, or whether you are even going to pay some of these things for cash, but if you're uninsured or underinsured, you will still be served, and we will see that you get what you need regardless of your ability to pay. And we think that that is very important. And that's one of the reasons why we have what I described to you earlier today, kind of like two sides to the auxiliary. There's the front side, and when you look at it, you may look at something that looks like a store or a boutique or that type of thing without realizing that there is a back half to it. And that's where you have the two fitting rooms. That's where people will come in, usually by appointment, and they will be seen by a certified mastectomy fitter who is trained in talking to them, how to get them to feel comfortable, also how to look at their physicality, and say, this is what you need as far as a prosthesis is concerned. Here are the bras that are available. And so when I say we have a front side and we have a back side, the front side is where it'll be a lot of retail going on that we can get the money that will help us take care of and fund for the uninsured or underinsured. And so that's primarily
that's great.
One of the things that we're going to be doing.
So for those of us who may not know what an auxiliary is at the hospital, can you explain the role of that, Pat?
Well,
I know you're so inside of it that it just rolls off your tongue a lot easier than mine.
Okay. Well, let's start by saying that 3 years ago, we celebrated 100 years. So
it's been around a while.
We have been around.
Yes.
And our primary role is to help within the health system where they need volunteers. And it can be all kinds of roles. I mean, the yellow page list that we have that lists all the different things that you can be doing within the hospital are many. But one of the things I think is so important with the auxiliary is we've picked up big projects. Projects that might appear to even be too big for us. I mean, way back almost 100 years ago when we helped them buy the first ambulance, which back then, I don't even want to tell you how much it was because I don't remember, but it had to have been a lot of money. But we also opened up a canteen within the hospital before there was other places for them to go, like a cafeteria. Then we did the hospitality house, which is now the University of Virginia Auxiliary Hospitality House. And that's the place where the patients can go when they either have very little money or they can't. They have to stay overnight, maybe the patients themselves, but their families more than likely have to stay sometimes for days, weeks at a time. So the auxiliary started that. And the hospital then stepped in and took over that. So this is another large project that we do. But beside that, we have people throughout the whole hospital doing all things from the emergency section, going into the cancer center, going into pediatrics, holding babies, a new project that's very popular. Our role is to listen to the needs of the hospital. And they come to Liz Corain and say, we have a need. This is what we would like the volunteers to do.
And Liz is somebody who's involved with...
She's the director of the volunteers. She's on the hospital staff.
Okay.
But also a member of our steering committee.
Yes. For the positive image boutique.
Yes.
Okay.
And so she then takes a look to see if what they're asking for is something that volunteers should and can do, and then decides how many volunteers they need. And she'll say, yes, we can give you volunteers. And then she will open a role there, and we will start to have volunteers go into those different places. We now have volunteers who are starting in the new extended stay hospital that's up in Ivy.
Right.
Northridge.
Long-term.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Northridge, long-time care. So we try to answer every need that the health system says they have for volunteers to come in, which could be anything from just helping out with stamps and all, you know, things like that, if that's what somebody wants. But Liz does a great job of interviewing every volunteer, and it's amazing. First of all, if you come out of there and you aren't volunteering, there's something wrong with you, because Liz's enthusiasm is just such that you want to say, where can I sign up? But the other thing is she's very good at deciding what my characteristics are, what kind of jobs would be right for me, which kind would be for Susan and anybody else coming in. So she places us in the right spots. So that's basically what the auxiliary volunteers do.
Thank you for explaining that. So you're kind of, it sounds like you're kind of the eyes from the perspective of patients as far as taking on projects that may not have even been considered yet, as well as providing volunteers to staff those projects and other projects that are going on. Is that a good way to say that?
Well, and we get, because we're in all parts of the hospital, we hear a lot. We can bring a lot of things back and say, did you realize?
Yes.
And that's what basically happened with this.
Yeah.
We heard some things, went back to the auxiliary and said, did you realize this? And that's when we started off on this path.
So we need to take a short break and stay tuned because my guest, the second half of the show, will be Susan Morris and Pat Perriolet. And we're going to hear more about the Positive Image Boutique over at Emily Corrick's Clinical Cancer Center over at UVA. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And this morning I am joined by Susan Morris and Pat Perriolet, who share the honorable position of co-chair of the steering committee of the Positive Image Boutique. And these women have really been working hard for years to realize perhaps a dream that sounds like it's so important to people who are going through, I was going to say women, but it's not just women, people who are going through cancer treatment and surgery and helping to support them build a more positive self-image. Yeah, so thank you for doing that. Yeah. Susan, I'm curious, what's your personal reason behind wanting to put so much time and effort into this project?
Well, you know, I have both family and friends who've experienced cancer. I think we all have. And when I was approached to do the research for the project, I really wasn't thinking that much about what I was getting into. I just said I had a marketing background. This is a good fit, so I'll do this. And I was retired, so I started. And as I was doing the research, I recognized the real need that there was at UVA for something like this. I remembered my friends having to go an hour away to find a wig, to find a prosthesis and a bra. They went even further. And it all started coming together. And I said, you know, this is really important to the cancer patient, knowing how my friends felt about their appearance, being able to make someone feel good about themselves, to feel as normal as they possibly can while they're going through a difficult time is really important. And it's important to everyone, not just women, but also to men and children. So it just blossomed. It became something, it became a mission for me, something that I've really enjoyed. And now I'm not really sure how we're going to walk away from this after it's opened up. We've had those conversations. It's like this is a baby now, and we want to be there and watch it grow. But it's really exciting, and it's exciting to know that it's just around the corner, and we're going to be able to see our patients capitalizing on what we've done.
So how do you see your role transitioning?
Well, I was the first volunteer to sign up for the Positive Image Boutique.
Good.
We're hiring a certified mastectomy fitter that requires a training class, which Pat and I and two other members of the steering committee actually went to. We haven't done this just from research. We've actually gotten involved in everything. We've gone to the classes. We've done some. We've done a lot of networking with boutiques around the country through seminars and through trade shows. And we took a fitting class so that we could understand exactly what it was that the mastectomy patient was going through. And after the fitting class, it takes 500 hours of on-the-job training to become certified in order to bill for insurance and Medicare. So we are hiring a fitter who will be experienced and will be able to help. But in lieu of being a manager, which I wasn't ready to go back to work full time, I'm just interested in being a volunteer there, just to be there and work with the patients. I love working with the patients. I worked in the cancer center, volunteered in the cancer center for 3 years, part of the time while we're working on this project. But in the last year, it's really ramped up. So I've kind of stepped aside and working on this alone. But I'll be in the boutique on Monday afternoon.
Every Monday afternoon. You already know your schedule.
No, I was the first one to volunteer. I said this is the date and the time. And this is it. And we may extend it. I may go to more than one day a week. But I enjoy it. I want to be there.
How about you, Pat?
Well, I'm already in the cancer center on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
Up in the chemo section. And I will continue to do that, I suspect. But I have said I will take over one of the afternoon slots.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'll be right there in the building that whole time. So whether I'm up. Whether I'm with the cancer patients themselves or whether I'm in the boutique, I'm not quite sure how it'll all end up, but I'll be there.
So I'm wondering how, this might sound strange, but how does it fit or how does it work with fitting the wigs? Like, I'm sure that there's issues with hair color and style. Do you have a lot of wigs available or is that something you special order?
Well, the wigs are covered in two ways because we have currently in the cancer center, we have what's called Ramona's room, which is a room that was established years ago in honor of Ramona Burwell. And those wigs and hats and scarves that are available there are free to anyone who needs them.
Oh.
We didn't want to change that because that honor for Ramona needs to remain. So we're going to move that whole room into one of our fitting rooms at the boutique. For the patient who doesn't want a wig, a lot of those wigs are, they're purchased, they're lent out, they come back in, the volunteers wash them, clean them thoroughly, and then they're reused for other patients. But for the patient who may come in and would like to buy their own wig, and believe me, some of the styles are so incredible. I'm thinking of buying a few myself.
I was thinking about stopping by.
They're really good. We're going to have a nice assortment of wigs available for the patient or the person who may want to sell. And that's another point I need to make. We're going to carry items in the boutique that will be gift items that are not cancer related.
Okay.
There'll be jewelry. There'll be hats, scarves. We're going to carry some cancer awareness items. There may be purses. So we're going to carry some gift items as well so that the caregiver who's there with the patient, while the patient may be in infusion or in a clinic with the doctor, has a place to go and shop. Maybe she picks up a little something for the patient. Maybe the patient on their way out decides to stop in and pick up a little gift for the caregiver, or because they don't feel up to going downtown to the mall to do some shopping, they can pick up a little gift for a friend or grandchild or whatever. So we're going to carry some gift items there, but we welcome everyone to come shopping. I mean, the wigs, even the undergarments, they are wonderful for all women, not just mastectomy patients.
Okay, great. Who who is it that you hope to serve primarily? Is there a primary target? Is it women or?
I think it's all cancer patients.
All cancer patients
who come to our facility. Yeah. We hope to be able to provide something that will help ease them their discomfort through their treatment.
Yeah. You know, I was just having this probably silly little image as you were talking about, you know, how there's the bridal registry. Well, I was thinking about all the friends of the person who's dealing with cancer treatment wants to do something for their friends. And wouldn't it be kind of fun to maybe helpful to be able to go online and see that this person is looking for specific things. I know I'm totally out there on this, but, you know, I know that sometimes as friends we feel kind of helpless and we want to do something.
Well, and you're right. And we hope down the road that we're going to have a website. Well, we know we're going to have a website.
Okay.
We're not at that point
yet
because we're not open, but we would like to be able to provide the products online. So people can go online. A lot of our patients come from 3 and 4 hours away.
Yeah.
Southwest Virginia.
Wow.
It's quite a long trip for them to come for their treatment. And if they run out of a product in the middle of their, you know, like in between treatments, they could go online and order. So we're hoping to carry a lot of things. So when I say we want to serve all patients, when you think of, there are things that we never even knew about before we started this, like non-metallic deodorants. Who knew you might need that if you were taking radiation treatment? But there are
why do you need that?
Because you don't want any metal on your body at all.
Oh, right. Radiation. Okay.
There are these skincare lotions that are out there. They're wonderful, and they're designed specifically for cancer patients who are undergoing treatment. Things like biotin, dry mouth products. We're going to carry wicking pajamas, not just for the menopausal patient, but for when you're going through chemo, a lot of times your hormones are in an uproar. So patients experience hot flashes. So we've tried to look at all the different symptoms that cancer patients might have and find solutions for them. And in most cases, they probably don't even know those solutions are out there.
Yeah.
So we're going to not only carry them, we're going to educate them on what's available.
And that's one of the things when I said that we went around to different parts of the hospital to say this is what the boutique is going to be and this is how it will serve your people, is for us to ask them, are there any things that you think of that we could carry that are different than we already have thought about? And so we are open to anything that anybody would say, assuming we always have a storage issue. You know, you only can carry so much, and some things might not be practical for us, but that we can take a look at and say, there's just one more thing that we can have to serve people.
So another way that maybe the website would be helpful is if you have a storage issue, maybe people could still order it online. And I'm not meaning to give you any more work than you already have.
No, we plan to go in that direction.
That's really great. You know, why don't we go ahead and give the URL, the web address, which is very awkward. And anybody who's listening right now actually can go to my website, jennifertill.com, find the link and click on it. That's probably the easiest way to find it. But what the web address is it's wix.com/UVA Auxiliary Auction/silent, which is pointing to your March 19th event.
Correct.
Primarily. But I see that there's other information here, too. You are listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, Real Life with Jennifer Till, brought to you by Virginia National Bank. And this morning, my guests are Pat Periole and Susan Morris, who are really not only the creative force, but the actual force behind getting the Positive Image Boutique happening and going over at UVA's Emily Corix Clinical Cancer Center. And Pat, what is your hope? What is your vision around the Positive Image Boutiques? How will you know you've been successful? How will our community be different?
Boy, I'm not so sure. I think it will be different when we are acknowledged as a destination spot, destination place for people who are going through their cancer treatments.
Okay.
And I suspect that that's primarily going to come from UVA patients. But that doesn't mean that we wouldn't like to be known in the community that may not be UVA patients, that there's this kind of thing that you can get here at this place. And I think the rest of it is a matter of how busy we are, how many people we see. Certainly, as the cancer center itself grows, we expect that our numbers of patients who would be wanting to use the boutique will increase. And I think a lot of it will just come from the smiles and the thank yous that we get from people who say, I didn't know I could see this here.
Yeah.
I didn't know I could come here. You know, last time when I first came here, I had to go someplace else. That's one of the other things that we're looking to do, is to make sure that past patients who have had to go to other places, as they come back in for appointments, or however they find out, know that they can come in and get what they needed here and not have to go through the mail or go into Richmond or someplace like that.
And Susan, as you said, that many of these people are traveling long distances and they're really sick.
Yes.
They're really sick, so they don't have to go someplace else. Yet another trip. I think that's just wonderful.
Well, and we're going to be located in the lobby, just off the lobby on the first corner. As they go around to registration desk, they'll see us there. So when they come in for their treatments, we're not going to be out of the way. We're on their way back out of the building or into the building, so we'll be very convenient. I think it's interesting, Jennifer, that we just recognized this probably in the last week or two. One of our own volunteers in the cancer center is a breast cancer survivor, had a mastectomy, and I'm guessing she's probably six, seven years out from her surgery, was not aware that her insurance or Medicare paid for mastectomy bras beyond her surgery. And I think that's important for all the women who are listening.
Good, yeah.
To know that if you're a breast cancer patient, whether it was lumpectomy or mastectomy, you're entitled to, by your insurance, and insurance varies, but Medicare and most insurance will cover a prosthesis every 2 years, a new prosthesis every 2 years, and up to six bras a year.
And also
every year.
For reconstruction.
And for reconstruction patients. If you've had any type of breast surgery, period, those things are available to you through your insurance. Insurance varies, so you'd have to check with your company, your carrier, to see what your coverage is. But she was unaware of this after 7 years, and she said, I've been going to the department store and just can't get fitted correctly. Well, if you have a prosthesis and you're trying to stitch a pocket into a regular bra, it may work, but it may not be as comfortable as one that's designed for it. Plus, you have to consider the fact mastectomy bras are made more supportive because they're actually holding, in a lot of cases, a prosthesis, whether mm-hmm. it's partial or full. So the support is there in a mastectomy bra that might not be in a beautiful bra that you could find in the department store. We also are going to be carrying a large range of sizes because we understand that a lot of the women, the larger women, find it difficult to find bras in the department stores to fit them. So we're going to be carrying those, and if we don't have them in stock, we can certainly order them and have them in within a day or two. So we hope to even broaden our business by providing those types of garments to women who are maybe not even mastectomy patients but need a specialty size, need that fitting, the correct fitting, and can find those products in our boutique.
So when you say not mastectomy patients, do they have to be some kind of a patient of some kind of surgery?
Or insurance and Medicare to cover? Yes, they do.
But if I just have an unusual size, I can still come in?
Absolutely.
And, okay.
Your insurance won't cover it, but you would pay for it like you would in a department store.
Yes, okay.
But we'll be carrying those unique sizes that a lot of times you won't find in a department store.
Okay, great. Susan, do you have a personal hope or vision of what you would like how you would like the Positive Image Boutique to impact our community?
You know, after talking to so many of the boutique owners, I think that the look on the face of the first customer who comes in and finds all of her needs met will be the most rewarding thing in the world to me. The emotions that these boutique owners have shown and conveyed to us for the work that they do, it's overwhelming. There's no way to put it into words. They have been so sharing of their information. I came from a background in marketing and sales in an industry where everything was so competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we found that boutiques, whether they're in California or in Ohio or just around the corner, have opened their doors and welcomed us in, given us as much information as they can, because they understand the need and they know how they feel when they see that patient walk in and find everything that they need, and know that when they're walking out, they look just like anyone else who's out on the street.
Yeah.
They're fine. Their self-confidence is lifted. They feel good about their self-image, and I think that's the most rewarding thing.
I really appreciate the compassion and the caring that the two of you have for so many people who are struggling going through cancer treatment. And I appreciate the kindness that you're doing for our community. Thank you for all of your efforts. And
thank you.
Yeah, and your love. And so is there anything else you want to say about the upcoming fundraiser that we haven't talked about, to make sure that, or anything else we haven't covered yet today?
Y'all, come on Saturday.
Come on out today.
2 to 4. Well,
2 to 4.
And in addition to the fundraiser for the benefit, I think it's important that we tell everyone there is a fund that we've established in the auxiliary called the Ramona Burwell Fund.
Okay. And that's what you were talking about earlier with the wigs.
Well, we were talking about the room that was dedicated to her. However, we've established a Ramona Burwell Fund, and we will be raising money for that fund. That fund will be used to provide the monies to pay for the products for the patients who are uninsured or underinsured. If they can't pay, if they come in and their bill is $300 and they can only pay a small portion of it, we'll help them with those products. So that fund has been established so that we can make sure that we're providing everything we need for our patients.
That's great. And so the evening of the event is March 19th. I'm looking here at my notes, from 6 to 9:30. And where is it located?
It's going to take place in the Emily Couric Clinical Cancer Center.
You got it.
I know. It's going to be, I think, on the 3 floors.
Okay. Oh, great.
Silent auction, I think, may be held on 2 floors.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be music, as Pat said, music, lots of food.
Good.
Wonderful prizes. You can go online to the website,
mm-hmm,
and look at all the prizes, silent auction prizes that are going to be up for auction that night. And there should be information there about donations as well.
Okay. And I am just looking here to see if I can find any of these silent auction list, but I can't see it right now. So, ladies, thank you so much for spending time with me this morning. And like I said, so much for what you're doing for our community. It's really such a gift. And what I'm hoping we can do after the boutique is up and running and has its new name, better than ever before, that I can come out and maybe talk to some of the women who are using your services and hear some of their stories.
I think that'd be great.
Oh, good.
And we appreciate you bringing awareness to the community.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So that's about all the time we have this morning. And I'd just like to remind you to go on to my website, jennifertill.com, where you can find out, you can find the link for our show this morning, as well as the information about the event coming up on March 19th. And head on over to to the Emily Couric Clinical Cancer Center today.
Between 2 and 4.
Between 2 and 4. Great. And I want to also remind you to ask yourself, what's the kindest thing I can do for me right now? See you next week.